Aloha and welcome to our first edition of our Election 2008 political podcast. I am publisher of Maui Time Weekly, Tommy Russo, and I'm sitting with Rob Parsons and Summer Starr. Rob is going to conduct an interview with Summer regarding her election, her
candidacy.
Her candidacy. Thanks, Rob. Yeah. Great. Okay, guys, get started.
Great. Aloha.
Thanks, Tommy.
Glad to be here in the studios of Maui Time Weekly, and I'm glad to be with you, Summer.
Thank you, Rob.
You're very active in this at this stage of the game in the 2008 election campaign, and you're running for District 12 seat for the State House, which represents upcountry Maui. Can you share with us what prompted you to run this year? What are some of your values and what you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, of course. District 12 is the district in which I grew up. I was born and raised in Olinda. And after completing my degree at University of Hawaii at Manoa and working in San Francisco, I came home to help with taking care of my niece and nephew and started seeing things here, changes here, that were very sad to me. And I saw my little town of Makawao, primarily where I grew up, losing a really special essence that's hard to get back once it's gone. And I knew that in a position of political decision making, I could prevent us from losing our small town essences and losing our Maui that we know of as of today. I've been a political advocate. I've worked at the state capitol, and my master's degree that I'm working on is in political science. So it was a matter of time before I took it to the next step, and I waited till I moved back to Maui and been here a bit. And now I'm running, and I'm ready, and I'm really excited, and I'm meeting amazing people in the process.
Great, great. And let's add that you're the youngest of four children of Hugh and Aaron Starr, who are well-known, been in the community, business community in upcountry Maui for years and years, for at least all of the 30 years that I've lived here. And you mentioned that you have worked in the state capitol. Can you share with us what your role was there working in the state capitol?
Yeah, that was fantastic. I worked in the Legislative Reference Bureau, which used to be a part of UH, but now is at the Capitol building itself. I worked in the Public Access Office, and we were the catch-all for any question that any citizen of the state had on anything doing with politics. Which was, it was an amazing learning curve, and it gave me a chance to be completely nonpartisan. I wasn't working for a specific legislator, so I heard the politics of the entire state as opposed to the politics of that one committee or that one legislator. Questions from, hi, I see that they're dumping oil in Waikiki, what do I do? To, oh, I saw that there was a bill about water, I read it in the advertiser. You know, and I have to say, well, do you know the bill number? No. Well, okay, let's go through this and step by step teach people how to get involved with the legislative process, how to write testimony. It was phenomenal. It was exactly what I wanted to be doing.
Great. Yeah. So it was not only on-the-job training for you, but you got to share all of that knowledge that you were learning about the inner workings of the state legislature and the state capitol with the general community.
We had a physical space as well, a building in the capitol that's there on the fourth floor, for anybody who wants to know. And you can come and ask us questions. We have a library of bills, and we'll help you with whatever you need to know.
In your upcountry district here in Maui, what do you feel are the vital issues that you would like to represent to your community if elected?
Yeah. You know, for me, my family has been in land and in ranching and farming for a while. And my dad started out as a paniolo at Ulupolokua Ranch. So agriculture is huge for us upcountry. And a friend of mine pointed out to me, you can't leave the culture out of agriculture. And I was thinking about that today, driving down the highway, and it's so true. Without our agricultural communities, we kind of lose who we are upcountry. And so it's important to support our agricultural community to develop a sense of place, a sense of community, it's important for food security with the rising cost of oil and our vulnerability here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We should be producing our own food, which we have done before. And it empowers our community. And so that's a huge issue for me. And tied into that is, of course, water issues.
Right, right.
And then onward from that, in getting ourselves more sustainable, empowering our communities really is my core value, is to empower ourselves. And by producing our own energy, whether it be wind or solar or whatever new technology they come out with, eating our own food that we grew from our neighbor's yard, things like that, that can be worked on at the state level. And it hasn't been quite yet implemented. They're the buzzwords now. I think that will start happening, but I want to get in there as someone who really understands this from the soil up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Great. And you and I both serve on a Maui Tomorrow subcommittee called Renewable Energy and Food Security.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked probably 90% about food security and 10% about renewable energy in that committee.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you have a background here, work experience with renewable energy. Mm-hmm. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, of course. I came back and was recruited to work for the Hawaii PV Coalition, PV standing for photovoltaic. And our main mission was to educate the community about renewable energy possibilities, primarily solar, and work with the county government and the state government and our Public Utilities Commission to figure out ways to make renewable energy more accessible to everyone, not just to a select group of elite, but to make it accessible for everybody, which would in turn benefit the entire island.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on how renewable energy can help revamp Hawaii's economy in these uncertain times, and with some of the layoffs we've seen, with some of the business closures and double-digit drop in mm-hmm. tourism revenue or tourism numbers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. I'm glad you brought that up. That's another thing, is that renewable energy is an amazing business sector and an economic opportunity where, you know, if we have the right people in power at the time, these technologies will arrive here inevitably. They're on their way. We just need to have the right leadership in power at that time of their arrival to make sure that they're either co-op-based or largely locally operated, and that they're not foreign operations. And if we have our own local renewable energy stations all over the island, that will provide jobs. It will provide educational opportunities for our children. It will provide job opportunities for people such as myself to come home and work and have a job where they can apply their degree, so we don't have to go to California. And it'll be secure, because everybody will always need energy. We'll always have more iPods and iPhones and computers. So it's a source that we'll never stop needing.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned educational opportunities mm-hmm. tying in with the revamping how we do energy here, mm-hmm. which has been largely importing fuels, whether it be petroleum or ethanol, coal. All of those things are mm-hmm. imported. If we have a homegrown, renewable, sustainable source for our power generation, it can absolutely tie in with educational opportunities.
Exactly.
And I know that revamping Hawaii's educational system is something that you have some ideas about.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to public school here, and I attended private school. I went to Makaua'au and then moved on to Seabury. I was one of three kids from Makaua'au School in my class. And I actually ended up leaving Seabury and starting university at MCC when I was 16. So I've had a good experience of all the different sorts of education there are here. Something now as an adult looking back and studying that I find a little bit disturbing is I see our educational system, not our teachers by any means, but our educational system training our children to work in the service industry. And I know for a fact that we can do better than that. I know for a fact that we have extremely bright minds here, and we are born in paradise, and that can lend amazing educational opportunities that aren't really being utilized right now that we could utilize.
And what kind of steps could we take with our education system?
Well, you know, I think that empowering our teachers. Again, it comes back to empowerment and empowering our teachers and allowing them to take directions in their course curriculum, as opposed to perhaps training our children to take tests that they're giving in Florida, the same test they're giving in Washington or similar. You know, our teachers are teachers for a reason. They don't do it for the pay, I imagine. They do it for the love of education. So they would have a wonderful idea of how to take that, our educational system, to benefit the children the most.
Mm-hmm. The District 12 House Representative seat has been held for the last two terms by Representative Kyle Yamashita.
Mm-hmm.
Without slamming your opponent, can you just share with us how your style of community service as an elected official would differ from Kyle's?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll, you know, take the opportunity to say how my style is, and really all my work throughout my entire life from a young girl up has been community-based and then worked my way up. And I feel that that is the same way in which I would operate legislatively. I would talk to my community first. I would talk to my community organizations, and I would work my way up the ladder from there, as opposed to talking to my largest investors and working my way down. It's the same way you build a home, the foundation up. It should be the same way we build a government.
I agree. Thank you. What else can you share with us today that are your key issues that you're passionate about, that really are motivating you to put your effort forward, to put your name out there as a first-time candidate, to convince upcountry voters that they should elect you for their representative?
Mm-hmm. I feel, and I want people to know, I'm from upcountry. My entire family lives in upcountry. We have advocated for upcountry, whether it be from native plants and on, the soil up. I would never do anything to harm my community. It has formed who I am today. I plan on raising my children there in the future. I don't want to taint my name, you know? And so in order to achieve that, I want my community to know that they are my first priority. I don't want to make any compromises that would adversely affect my community. And as far as my passions right now, it's, you know, I live in a rural area in Olinda, and we have chickens and we grow a bit of our own food. I want to see us empowered to feed ourselves and power ourselves. I don't think that's very much to ask. It's going back to the future. It's Victory Gardens. It's water catchment. It's using gray water. The technology is there. We can do it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier water and how it's inextricably tied with our ability to grow things here.
Mm-hmm.
And largely what's happened is that the water has been co-opted by our large agribusiness commodity growers, and it's been more difficult to assure that there's a water source and supply for our bona fide farmers who are growing food here on Maui. There's also a big tug of war as there is competition with the surface waters and the groundwaters between development interests, urban interests, and agricultural interests. Is this something that you've considered, and how would you address trying to rectify some of the water tug of wars?
Yeah. Yes. Big question for everybody, and everybody should be pondering it, because before we need electricity, we need water. It's the basis of life on Earth as we know it. So, yeah, you know, in sixth grade, I did a project on water rights. It's in my blood to be concerned and try to protect our water sources. Something that's an idea that I came up with, and I believe it's unique, and I hope people jump on board, is I've seen developers now do solar hot water everywhere because it's made financially possible for them because of tax credits. We can do the same with water catchment. There's been some difficulties bureaucratically, but the necessity for water should trump our difficulties in the bureaucracy. There are a lot of creative ways to manage our water, whether it be from a personal residential standpoint or from a larger policy blanket. I think that would be an entirely different show. And for me, one of the important aspects that's now being discussed in great detail is the cultural aspect of it. And that goes back to the agricultural aspect. I mean, we were nomadic humans until we discovered agriculture. Agriculture has developed us into who we are today as a human race. And the foundation of that is water. And it's our duty to respect that relationship. The Hawaiian culture had a wonderful way to manage that resource with the Ahupua'a systems. And for my undergraduate thesis, my theory was to revitalize the Ahupua'a system in an urban setting, which is possible. And people are working on that now. And these are the people that I'm in touch with. And these are the people I want to get at the Capitol sharing their mana'o with everybody there to enlighten the Oahu-centric legislature of our potential on these outer islands.
Mm-hmm. What do we need for better resource protection in our state?
Well, you know, right off the bat, the first thing that comes to my head is more support for DoCare, because those guys are dedicated, that's part of DLNR. They are dedicated to our resources, and I've spoken with them, and to see their passion and their love for their Ahupua'a is outstanding.
Yeah,
and we should definitely foster that and support that.
Right, DoCare is Division of Conservation and Recreation Enforcement.
Yeah,
that's the acronym.
Yeah,
Division of DLNR.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thanks for sharing with me and with all the listening audience.
Yeah,
just what makes you tick. Your campaign is slightly different than the county council campaigns because the primary election is very important.
Right.
Both you and the incumbent are running as Democrats, so you'll go head-to-head in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you've worked at or just after you were at mm-hmm. trying to rock the vote and involve a lot of people with the process. What do you anticipate is going to be necessary to get Maui voters who are very sluggish about getting to the polls, mm-hmm. even if they're registered to vote? In our last election, we had less than 50% of people at the general election. Less than 50% of registered voters showed up.
Mm.
What do you anticipate with your experience in trying to rock the vote and get people involved will be necessary this time around for this primary election?
Yeah. Well, when I worked for encouraging people to vote on Oahu, I wasn't running for office, and so I was a voter registrar.
What program was that you worked with?
It was with an organization called Progress Hawaii, which I founded with a professor from UH and a legislator at the time at the Capitol and a really good friend of mine. And we went out and did community outreach, mostly to my age group, people in university up through their 30s who weren't voting. And they were creative, and we did beach cleanups and poetry slams, and it was fun. And so I was dedicated to that. Being a candidate, I can't be a voter registrar. It's a conflict of interest. So I wish that I could get out there and drive people to polls and get them all riled up, and I wish I could put my own energy there, but I can't. So I'm depending on other people to educate that September 20th is our primary.
September 20th?
Is it September 20th?
Okay.
I think it's September 20th.
It is.
So, you know, and to get people out there and voting, you can do absentee. You don't even have to go to the polls. It's, you know, Noam Chomsky said himself that our rights weren't given to us. We had to fight for them. And there's a constant battle where people are trying to take those rights away from us. And it's our obligation to vote and maintain that right.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And if people aren't already registered to vote, or if they've moved since the last time, they need to re-register 30 days before that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be somewhere around August 20th or 21st, I believe.
Coming up.
Yep, that's coming up soon.
Yeah.
Well, once again, thank you for being here today.
Thank you,
it's
Rob.
Been delightful to speak with you and learn a little more about your candidacy and about who you are as an individual, an upcountry resident.
Yeah.
And we hope to hear more from you in the weeks to come up to the primary election on September 20th.
Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity. This is great. Reaching out to that that new audience via the web. It's fantastic that you guys are doing this.
And we thank Maui Time Weekly for making this space available.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rob.
Mahalo.